Okay, we have time for just a question or two so that we can take a break before the next panel. So maybe just one or two, so if anyone's got something that they're... Yes, Alan.
Do you reckon that in the future, with Australia still being pretty hesitant to tell the colonial truth, and with the new growing of multiculturalism, that there's a risk of Murray and Forbes' poems, with their reference to Martin Place, maybe being seen as sort of prophetic after the little cafe siege and that big outpouring of Australian grief, which has probably preceded by Anzac Day, and the floral tribute that was probably only preceded by Valentine's Day.
Yes. It's a question for you.
I think it's a rhetorical question.
Yeah, I think it did occur to me the Link Cafe and all that stuff when I was thinking about those poems. I had no idea how to write it in or think about it, but I think you're onto something.
You could throw Occupy and Marketplace as well into that complex links as well.
Yeah.
The perhaps those three papers are true. One of the words that kind of threaded its way through was Antipodea, obviously. And you all recognise the way in which that connotes, you know, opposition, but also monstrosity, particularly Toby and Michael, as you were saying. Monstrosity, otherness, you know, people with, you know, feet in their chests and, you know, their heads on backwards and whatever. But I'm just wondering, it's not the word that Paul Foss used. He used the word antipodal. I think he did it probably quite consciously.
So did Lawrence.
And so did Lawrence. I think what that does is get away from some of the connotations of antipodean, which is a denigrating word about the underworld.
Mm.
And about how it's monstrous and it's other, it's fun, and it's, you know, it's ridiculous, and it's down there. All that stuff goes with Antipodea, but not with Antipodal, which can be anywhere on the globe. It's kind of gyroscopic. It comes without those, it doesn't carry that kind of burden. So I just wonder whether, I don't remember that very close. I'd like to go back and have a read of it and just have a look. Put the microscope on what he's doing there, because he might be quite conscious in doing something that's designed to get away from some of those negative characterizations of Australia.
All the monsters are from Greece, basically.
Yeah.
In field.
I'm really glad you said that, you know, Peter, because Philip, why did I say Peter? Sorry. because you know, that's absolutely... I have no interest in that connotation of the Antipodean. Whereas Michael's paper is absolutely invested in it and dealing with it. And, yeah, I'm glad you said that, because wherever I can... Like, I tried to navigate that, and I would prefer to use the word antipodal. I'm glad you told me. Yeah.
So, well, I'm just suggesting it might be a decolonising
word. Yeah.
Somewhere off the coast of Portugal is actually the antipodal point for Australia, somewhere in the ocean off... Portugal,
but, yeah, exactly.
I was going to put that in, but I actually don't mind the negative connotation. I think I'm trying to say it's useful and has been useful in opposition, I guess. Co-opted again, anti-colonized or something.
Well, yeah, the reality is that it's historical too. It's
oh yeah, yeah.
I have a question for Michael, but I also wanted to say, Toby, that I felt that more might be done with the fact that Astrid's overturning, you talked about the British talking back, but Dylan Thomas, it's all about Welsh language and Wales, it's an identity. And I wondered about the inversion of a Welsh subject in language, which is different. But that was sort of
just in New South Wales, a New South Welsh.
yeah, that's right.
That's your trumping.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I wish you had trumped us, Toby, but you totally did. But Michael, mine is really about something that Pete and I have talked about, and I feel like I'm learning this from really Pete's thinking. And that is the enormous differences between the catalogue or the list or the archival enterprise for someone like Lionel and some of the writers alongside which you positioned me today. And I think it's because I want a bigger conversation about the relationship between rights and responsibilities. So when Lionel goes to the catalogue, well, it's not even about that. The list is something that's extraordinarily responsible as an act. And the sort of museum that the 19th century kind of museum enterprise of collection is about property rights as well. And I just wondered about how you saw the sort of responsibility that is going on in the ancestral catalogue that Lionel's work brings.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's, I mean, there's a big, I mean, there, it's obviously, I think, I mean, it's a very different poem to the other three. And I just sort of really just began to try and indicate that with, I mean, even in fairly obvious terms, the fact that it's explicitly framed as ecology means it's very different to the others, I think. But yeah, I mean, I don't really know. I'm just starting with this, and I can, yeah, see that could be expanded a heap more or opposed, you know, framed differently in terms of something different. I don't really know, but thanks.
I
mean, this is a good point to make at this time, at this place.
Trying to understand the critical discourse that we need to share work like Michael's work. Which
I mean, I think it's got something to do with where the voice is, which I just kind of questioned but didn't take anywhere, because the voice is not located in the kind of in the sort of, I mean, Murray's is moving, but it doesn't really seem like it's just a kind of an act of moving rather than actually moving or something. Like, it's not actually, I don't think Fogarty voice is probably not moving either. It's something separate from moving or still, in a way. It's just kind of, yeah, I don't know.
Should we take a break and then go on to the next panel? Okay, great. Thank you so much, everyone.